Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Romans chapter 5, verse number 12 says this right here. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For unto the law sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more by the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Verse 18 says, therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father God, we certainly need your help right now. God, I need your help as we open up your precious word, Father. God, I pray that you would bless this, the reading of your word, and bless the remainder of this message, God. May you help us, Father, as we seek to unpack the truth of your word, God. I pray that you would be with every heart and every life in the pews today, God, in the seats today. God, I pray that you would work in our hearts and lives, God, as only you can, and help us as only you can this morning, Father. May the lost be saved. May the saint be re-energized this morning, God, and encouraged. But God, whatever is done, I pray that your will is done this morning, God. We love you. Thank you for all you do for us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated this morning. Now, this portion of Romans begins to provide the answers for questions like, why do people die? Why do babies die sometimes? And how could one man who died thousands of years ago have such an effect upon the history of mankind? Those are real questions that are in the world today. These are questions that beg an answer. These are questions that we have the answer for, if you'll just open up God's word and read it. Mankind has from the beginning tried to figure out why we are here, where we came from, where we're going, and what is the purpose of life. I find it awful sad that we have all of those answers, but yet the world still seeks them. What's even sadder is many people in the church have those answers in their Bibles, but yet they can't tell anybody what the answers are. You know, so many times why so many, I'll just be honest with you about this, why the cults are so popular and biblical Christianity is not, it's because they're providing the answers that we are not. The sad thing is, they're providing wrong answers. They're providing wrong answers. They're providing lies. And we have the truth this morning. And I want to teach you the truth this morning from Romans chapter 5 and answer some of these questions. Paul uses two characters here in these verses I've already read to illustrate how we obtain deliverance from sin. Those two persons, of course, are Adam and Jesus. They both acted on man's behalf. Adam sinned for all of us, and Christ died for all of us. Right? And Martin Luther said this, there are but two men, Adam and Christ, and all other men hang at their girdles. In other words, only two matter. Adam sold us into slavery. Christ bought us out of it, made us free. Nothing else matters. That's what we need to know today. We need to know that we're lost, we were born lost, why we are lost, and then we need to know that there is a fix, there is a Savior, there is a solution for the problem that plagues mankind. Now, the truth of the matter is, we all have our identity. Every single person in this building this morning, you have your identity in one or the other of those people. Who is it? You're either in Adam or you're in Christ. Only two. The Bible's pretty adamant about that. As a matter of fact, there's only two ways. What's that? Well, you got the broad path that leads to destruction. You got the straight and narrow that leads to life everlasting. There's only two. There's only two paths you're on. There's only two possibilities. There's only two destinations when you die. It's heaven or hell, nothing in between. Yeah. The Bible is very black and white about these things. The world likes to gray lines and likes to confuse, and that's kind of what philosophy and mankind does. But God doesn't do that. We have it all right here in front of us. So today, every person in this building, you either have your identity in Adam or your identity is in Christ. And I want you to see that this morning. Number one, I want you to notice this with me. I want you to notice the root of sin. We find that in verse number 12. Look at it with me. The Bible says, "Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world." Notice that word "entered" with me. Sin did not begin with Adam, okay? However, sin did enter into the human race by Adam. Sin had entered into the world through Satan, but it entered into the human race by Adam. In Hebrew, Adam means mankind. When Adam chose to deliberately disobey God, sin entered the human race. Since we are all descended from Adam, we all inherited the sinful nature. Sin entered into the world through one man and death through sin. The Apostle Paul is saying here that the presence of sin in the world can be traced all the way back to the very beginning of man, to the first man, who is Adam, specifically to one act that Adam did. What was that one act, you might wonder? Well, you know what he did? He ate a piece of fruit. Right? You're like, what? Yeah, he ate a piece of fruit. I mean, physically, at least, that's what it was, but that's all it seemed to be on the outside. God told him not to eat that fruit. He ate that fruit. But the real problem is much deeper, and that's what I want you to see this morning. What's the real problem, preacher? Well, if you know the story that's told in Genesis chapters 2 and 3, you know that God said to Adam that he could eat the fruit off any tree in the Garden of Eden except for the tree known as the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Can we just back up 1 second? He had one rule, people. He had one rule. So I just want to speak to that person this morning that thinks that they can earn their way into heaven. Adam had one rule and he couldn't keep it. You have infinitely hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of things in our life. He had one way he could sin. Y'all ever thought about this? He had one way he could sin. Well, I wish I only had one. Don't y'all? Man, I wake up and before I ever get going, I'm like, oh, man. I get to start my day with repentance. I'm sorry, Lord. I woke up with a bad attitude. Have y'all ever thought about that, though, for real? He had one rule. He had one way he could sin. Hey, we have infinitely more, and yet people still think that they can earn their way into heaven. I just want you to understand how ridiculous that is. So he had one rule. And he broke it. But he had one rule here. God told Adam if he ate of it, he'd surely die. But Satan tempted Eve, saying that if she would eat the fruit of her, she would eat the fruit, her eyes would be opened and she would become like God. Are y'all seeing this? And so the temptation that Adam and Eve dealt with was the temptation to overthrow God's authority. We see it with our eyes as him eating a piece of fruit, but oh my soul, it goes much deeper. We all understand that, don't we? That also means that that sin that you commit goes so much deeper than what we think. Right? One thing I have learned about God in studying, he takes everything more seriously than we do. Everything. We like to make excuses for sin. He has no excuse for sin. And so, but here's the thing. God told Adam, if you ate of this fruit, So on the outside it was eating a piece of fruit. On the inside it was overthrowing God's authority. And we still do it today. We still do it today. The temptation that they dealt with was the temptation to overthrow God's authority. God had created them, and as their creator, God had a right to set boundaries for them, but they transgressed God's boundary in an attempt to become like God. And we do it every single day of our lives. I find it amazing. One of the things that you'll hear a lot of people say is, well, who is God to tell me what to do? I love that question because the answer is, He made you. He has the right to. Right? Without God, we are nothing. So, of course, He has the right to tell us what to do and what not to do. It's His rules, not ours. They're not our rules to rearrange. They're not our rules to twist and turn. Hey, our job in this is to follow God's commands. If He said don't eat the fruit, then don't eat the fruit. Don't wonder why. But see, that's how the devil does us. He comes to us and puts doubt in our minds and plants a little seed to make us think that God's holding out on us. That's what He did to Eve. Ultimately, they tried to overthrow God's authority. So that's the beginning here. But then we see the results of sin. Look at what it says. Verse number 12. It says, death by sin, and so death passed upon all men. The results of sin can be summed up into one horrible word, and that is death. Desiring to be like God, Adam disobeyed and ate the forbidden fruit, and through one man, sin entered into the world, and the death that God promised also became a reality, because we know God don't break any promises, do we? We know that. We know that what He says comes to pass, and He told them they would die, and ultimately they did. Paul tells the Romans that he's writing to in chapter number 6, verse number 23, that the wages of sin is death. In God's economy, death and sin go together. That doesn't seem fair, though, does it? What? What doesn't seem fair, preacher? Well, that Adam sins and we all become sinners. That don't seem fair, does it? It's okay. You can answer. Yeah, I mean, you can shake your heads. It's not a trick. I'm not setting you up for anything. I'm just being very real, okay? I'm just being transparent this morning. It doesn't seem fair, does it? How in the world does it work, preacher? How in the world does it work that He sinned and all of us became sinners? Well, here's how it works. Adam is our common father. He represents all of mankind. Why? Because he was the first created being. You are a created being. We all came from God. God willed that we would be here, and here we are. Okay? And so He is our common Father. He was the first. He represents all of mankind. He represents all of His posterity. He acts on our behalf, whether you like it or not. Why? Because God is the Creator and He wrote the rules. And Adam, the first father of mankind, broke the rules. When he sinned, even though we didn't literally participate in the sin with him, we all became sinners because the whole race was in him. He represents us all. We all started with Adam. Yeah. And because we're all sinners, we're all going to die a physical death. I don't think that's a debate this morning, is it? We're all going to die. Which brings us to point number 3 this morning. That's the reality of sin. The reality of sin is that in verse 12, the Bible says, death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Notice the tense of that statement, all have sinned. Notice it is past tense. In the context, it is still talking about Adam. What Paul is saying to us is that when Adam sinned, we sinned. When Adam fell, we fail. When Adam died spiritually, we all died spiritually. Paul is driving the fact home that we are born with a nature to sin. It's not something that we have to develop. We already have it when we arrive. Since the disobedience of Adam, man does not have to do anything to get lost. As a matter of fact,
from the time that you understand right and wrong, you are automatically on that broad road that leads to destruction. You don't have to do anything to be on it. And the world, it entices us to stay on that path. And you know what? You have to turn to Jesus to get off of that into the narrow road. Well, I'm going to show you. I'm going to show you some proof of this in just a second. Man don't have to do anything to get lost. He comes into the world in this condition. In Psalm 51:5, David said, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." In Psalm 58:3, we read, "The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies." Now, some of y'all probably just, wait just a second. What do you mean? Well, here's what I mean. I'm going to use a quote from a man named Ray Stedman. He quotes a report from the Minnesota Crime Commission that perfectly illustrates this truth. Here's what he said. Every baby starts life as a little savage. Y'all ought to say amen to that one. Brother Elijah, Miss Maddie, if y'all ain't figured it out yet, you're going to. They're little savages. I mean, honestly, I didn't understand. I didn't fully understand Psalm 58:3 until I had a kid. The wicked are estranged from the womb. In other words, they are separated from the womb. Then they go astray as they be born, speaking lies. Yeah, boy. Every baby starts life as a little savage. He is completely selfish and self-centered. He wants what he wants when he wants it. Whether it's his bottle, whether it's his mother's attention, whether it's his playmate's toy, whether it's his uncle's watch. And you deny him these wants and he will seethe with rage and aggressiveness, which would be murderous if he weren't so helpless. Yeah. It's funny, but you all sitting there going, yeah, it's true. It's true. It's true. Think about this. He's dirty. He has no morals. No skills. No knowledge. I mean, think about it. We ain't told him yet. You know, we ain't had a chance to train him up yet. He's just barely staying awake. You know, I ain't got him into to any deep theology at this point. I've not had a chance to explain to him how he's born a little savage and he needs to be saved. Right? Yeah. Listen to this. He's dirty, has no morals, no knowledge, no skills. This means that all children, not just certain children, are born delinquent. Yes. Now listen to this. If permitted to continue in the self-centered world of his infancy, given free rein to his impulsive actions to satisfy his wants, every child would grow up a criminal, a thief, a killer, a rapist. Why? Because they want what they want when they want it, and that is now. And they don't care how they get it. And you know what's wrong with a lot of people in the world today? They've never been raised. You got to teach a child not to lie. You got to teach a child to do the right thing. You got to teach a child to share. Why? Because we come out of the womb selfish little savages. And I love babies, by the way. I do. I mean, babies are precious. I know what I just said. They are precious as long as they're asleep, not having bad dreams, you know. But what a truth is in that today. Why is that? Because as Paul writes in Romans 5, we were sold into sin and we are born into sin because of Adam's disobedience. Yeah. What a truth. We're not sinners because we sin, y'all. Instead, we sin because we're sinners. We sin because we have a sin nature. And earlier, Paul said in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So let's look on. In verse 13 and 14, we find the reign of sin. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. Paul goes back to before the law to prove his point. He has already proven that men are not saved by the law. I've already mentioned it. You can't be good enough to be saved. You can't work your way into heaven. And so when Paul is writing to the Romans here, he takes them back before the law. In other words, the sin was around before the law was ever around. Before the law was around, death was by sin already. The law don't save you. And here he adds that breaking the law is not what brings death. He says death reigned from Adam to Moses. There was no law, but there was still death. And that proves this morning that keeping the law, doing good works, your actions cannot and will not ever save you. The Bible tells us that it's by faith alone, in Christ alone, by grace alone that we are saved. It's the only way you can get out from under the reign of death. So that brings us to number five this morning, and that is the rescue for sin. Look what the Bible says in verse number 15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. Hey, can I tell you something this morning, church? There is something even more powerful than the disobedience of Adam and the resulting curse of sin. And what is that thing that is more powerful? It is the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of Jesus Christ, which has abounded to many according to Scripture. In contrast to Adam, Jesus Christ is the deliverer of the doomed. Adam brought guilt, Jesus brought grace. The contrast between the first Adam and the second Adam cannot be missed this morning. Hey, here's the thing. Everything that we lost in the first Adam was regained by the second Adam. Why did Christ have to come? Because Adam sinned. Why do we need a Savior? Because we are born in trespasses and sin, and we need to be made alive. So Jesus had to come to bring us that life. So the Bible tells us. Everything we lost in the first Adam was regained by the second Adam, or the last Adam. Everything that Adam gave away in the garden, Jesus purchased back on the cross. Yeah. I've often thought about it like this. I've often thought of all the times that Adam and Eve were there with their children. And I wonder, I mean, you think about it. Adam, he wasn't born. He was created. Eve, I mean, could you imagine just waking up as an adult and being in that perfect environment? That's all they ever knew. Until they tried to dethrone God. And could you imagine all of the different things? I mean, I sometimes wonder about their conversations with their children. And they brought them up quite right, by the way. They told them about what had happened. And I often wondered if they just sat down and think, man, if we could just go back to the garden. Man, life was so much easier there. Life was so much easier when we were obeying God. Life was so much easier when we were going God's way. Life was so much easier when we were doing what God said to do. I've often thought about that, and it's been kind of a heartbreaking thought. Because could you imagine? I mean, we don't even know. We can't even imagine what they lost that day. Because we've never had it. We were born in sin. I hope that message is clear this morning. We're all born in sin. We don't know what it's like to just wake up as an adult with no aches or pains. We don't know what it's like to wake up. Hey, you think about this. They didn't even have to worry about what they looked like. There was nobody else. Hey, Eve was the most beautiful woman ever. There wasn't anybody else. Oh, hey, Adam was the most masculine and handsome man that ever lived because there was nobody else. Could you imagine that? Never wondering anything. Never having to deal with sin. It's amazing to think about, isn't it? We don't know what that's like. We can't even fathom that because we were born into sin. And so I've often thought, kind of in a heartbreaking situation, how they must have wished that they could go back into the garden just to go back, just to take back what they lost. Because in that one little deed, they lost everything that they had. But then it dawned on me also that God has given us all of that back. You ever thought about that? Adam was looking in the past, and you and I are looking in the future. He was born perfect and frail. And by the way, he was a saved man. We've got evidence for that. So you think about his life. He was born perfect. He fell because of sin. Then he had to deal with sin, and then he went home. We were born imperfect and have been imperfect every day of our life, but one of these days, we're going to be glorified. He left the garden going back to the garden. We was born out of the garden, and we're heading toward the garden. So, hey, that's a wonderful thing, isn't it? All because of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has reversed everything that was stolen or that was taken from mankind in that garden. He has taken our sin. He has, Adam sinned one sin and brought death to all men, but Jesus died one death and it brought the possibility of life to everyone. In a real mysterious sense, when Jesus dies on the cross, His blood paid for all the sins of all men who have ever or will ever live. And of course, this only becomes effective to those who exercise faith in Jesus and believe unto salvation. 1 Corinthians 15 says this, verse 22, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." Amen. This contrast is carried over into verse 16. Look at it with me, Romans 5, 16. "And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification." Hey, Adam's was one offense that brought judgment and condemnation to man. However, God's grace exceeds and abounds to many offenses. And Adam brought eternal death. Grace brings eternal life. Look in verse number 17. The Bible says, "For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ." Hey, I'm going to tell you this morning, it's staggering to think about how completely death has reigned under Adam. What do I mean by that? Well, everybody who's ever been born dies. There ain't but two that's escaped it in the Bible. That's Elijah and Enoch. They were and were not. They were raptured away. One of these days, He's going to come back, Jesus is, and those of us who are alive and remain will be was not. But you think about it. You're going one way or the other. If you're a child of God, you're going by the rapture or the grave. If you're not saved this morning, you only got one option. That's the grave. Nobody's going to debate that this morning. Everybody dies. Everybody that's ever lived dies. We're all going to die one day. When did I start dying, preacher? The minute you was born. Yeah. The mortality rate is 100% today. Nobody survives. When a baby is born, it's not a question of whether the baby will live or die. It most certainly will die. The only question is, when is it going to die? We think of this world as the land of the living, but to be honest with you, it's the land of the dying. And the billions of human bodies buried in this earth over the past centuries proves that point. But Paul, get a hold of this. Paul says the reign of life through Jesus is much more certain. Let me back up a second. It's certain that we're all going to die. 100% probability. And what's Paul say? You can reign with Christ. That is even more certain than death. That's what he tells us. Hey, somebody ought to get a hold of that this morning. You ought to let that bless you this morning. You ought to let that help you this morning. And in Adam, our life is one of bondage and one of hopelessness. However, when we are in Christ, we reign with Him and He reigns over death. Jesus said in John 11, 25, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." Now look at verse number 18 in Romans 5. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of the one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Yeah. Paul's repeating his point. Why does he do that, preacher? Because we're slow learners and we need to hear it again. God knows us. So he's making his point. He's repeating the point again. Hey, that's why I continuously have said this morning, hey, you know what? I hope that when you leave, you'll remember what I preached on. If you don't remember anything, you'll remember that we were born in sin. And Jesus saved us. Here's the thing. He's repeating this point. All died in Adam. All can live in Jesus and be right with God. It doesn't matter how far you've fallen this morning. You can never fall so low that the grace of God cannot reach you. Look at verse number 20. He says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. What does that say? Well, the law, it magnifies the offense. The law comes in and amplifies the conscience that we've done something wrong. But what does it say? It says, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Yeah. The law just magnified the fact that you and I are lost and undone without Christ and we're imperfect and we can never be good enough to get to heaven. You know, people think about that all the time. They think about the law and keeping the law and breaking the law and what the law does. You know what it does? It shows us that we're sinners and it shows us that there is a Savior. Paul said it was the schoolmaster. It was to teach us all that we are not good enough to get to heaven. It's to teach us that we're not perfect. It teaches us that we were born in sin. Yeah. And there's nothing we can do but fall at the feet of Jesus Christ. That phrase, much more abound in verse 20, it carries the idea, listen to this, super abounding and means to surpass by far, exceed immeasurably, or overflow beyond. Yeah. I like adjectives in the Bible. Because nothing, I mean, you know, hey, the grace is greater than the law. Yes, honey, it is greater than the law. But hey, grace abounds the law. Grace superabounds the law. Grace surpasses by far and exceeds immeasurably and overflows beyond the law. And it speaks of the fact that God's grace far exceeds the offense. So don't you dare let the devil tell you that you've done something that you can't be saved from. Don't you dare let the devil keep you defeated, Christian. There's always grace. Because grace superabounds the law. It abounds the sin. There is no person that has ever been so far down that God could not reach and pick them up. That's just a lie of the devil. If grace superabounds over sin, then we know that it is impossible to out-sin the grace of God. We can't sin more than God can forgive. But listen to me, church. We can reject His grace. We can reject His forgiveness. Yeah. We can. Don't reject Him today. Look at verse 21. I'm done. Miss Tanya, would you come start playing softly for me? The Bible says that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. You want to know something? When we started today, death was reigning. Now we conclude with grace reigning. In other words, there ain't no excuse for you to stay in your lost condition. There's no excuse to stay defeated. There's no excuse to walk away without Christ this morning. Sin reigns over mankind in the ugliest and most destructive way that you can imagine, but the abounding grace of God reigns through righteousness. Psalm chapter 23, verse 3 says this, He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Can I tell you something, church? Life isn't just breathing. Some of you walked in this morning, you thought, well, I'm alive. I woke up this morning, I'm breathing, and I'm here. Can I tell you something? That's not living. Life's more than just breathing. Life is knowing God. Life is living in an eternal relationship with God. That is life. And the devil will have you searching far and wide for a meaning of this life when you have it all right here in front of you. He'll have you searching for that meaning all the way to hell. But I'm here to tell you this morning, it don't have to be like that. Where death reigned, Christ reigns. He's taken the sting of death away. He's made it all good, y'all. If you'll only accept His forgiveness and accept His grace. A gift ain't no good if nobody takes it. A gift ain't worth nothing if you don't accept it. If I brought you something this morning, I had it wrapped up, and it might be the most valuable thing in this world, but if you leave it sitting on that chair, it ain't never going to do you no good. And how many people have done that to the forgiveness and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ? They say, no, it's okay. I'm going to get there my way. No, you don't get there your way. You get there God's way. And God's told us what His way is. And His way is through the truth of Jesus Christ, His Son. Jesus is the only way. Without Him, there's no going. Jesus is the only truth. Without Him, there is no truth. Jesus is the life. Without Him, there's only death. John 17:3 says, "And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent." In Adam we all die, but for those who are in Christ, we'll be made alive. That's why Jesus said in John 3:7, "Ye must be born again." Have you been born again this morning?